You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Guys, welcome back to the Best Practice Show. I'm your host, Kirk Barrett, because I am always your host, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And today's going to be a crazy special episode, because if you joined us for the COVID-19 Dental Relief Conference, you saw some of the most amazing talent in the world. And we met one of the most brilliant orthodontists of our time, Dr. Drew McDonald. And I'll just say this, he blew us away with his thinking, just his whole, you know, approach to orthodontics. And you are going to love this, where we're going to take a look at the foundational future of orthodontics and what you can expect on the horizon. So don't miss this. Stick around, hit the share button, grab a pen, because we're going to share quite a bit during this episode. Now, a couple things. I always like to share this before we get started. We don't even really know what we're doing with this whole podcast thing, but we're enjoying the hell out of it. And you guys don't watch the videos. I say that every time, and I don't really care, but you're consuming the audios like crazy. Now up over 150,000 audio downloads. All I want to say is just thank you. So if you're a young dentist or a dental student, we saw a lot of dental students joining for the conference last year. Hey, do me a favor. If you're listening on Spotify or Stitcher or iTunes, I don't care where you're listening, do me a favor, just go right down to that little button that says subscribe. Just click it, because I want you to show up with us, because you're going to see every single week, I'm going to bring you a brand new expert who's going to give you some great thought processes. You're going to see, I don't know very much. That's why I invite all my friends that are really sharp and smart. And we're going to help you create a better practice and a better life. And I don't want you to miss out on that. So make sure you subscribe. Number two, some of you still asking, what the heck do we do? We love the CE thing. I think I could do CE all day long, every day. And Drew, if I can find a way to make a living just doing podcasts, we're going to do it. And I'm bringing you with me as our orthodontic brother.
I'll be there. Yeah.
Deal. But we're practice coaches. So if you're a practice owner, here's what we do. Like, you might be thinking, I don't like writing off all this, you know, production for all these PPOs. And I want to start doing a little bit more fee for service. That's what we do. Give us a call. Or you might be thinking, I don't like working crazy hours. I hate working evenings. I only want to work 4 days a week or 3 days a week, and I want to have a great life and watch my kids grow up. Well, give us a call. That's what we do also. Or you might be thinking, I just want my team to get along. I want a better team. I want them to be healthier. I want them to have a little bit more fun. That's our sweet spot and our expertise. So check it out at actdental.com, where we help you create a better practice and a better life. And speaking of better practice, better life, I want to introduce my friend, Drew. Now, I was introduced to you by a mutual friend who we both love and adore, Jim Otten. Mm-hmm. And Jim and Bill, you know, Robbins both screamed about you, but Jim kind of took over and says, like, no. Let me just share with you. This kid is amazing. He's a great thinker. He is really going to be leading the charge and changing kind of the landscape of how we think about ortho. And today we're going to be talking about, you know, the future foundation of orthodontics from your perspective. But Drew, I want people to know you and who you are before we get started, because we're going to be talking about a lot of cool stuff. But who is Dr. Drew McDonald?
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks for having me. This is a blast to be back, and especially after last year. I know we talked about this earlier, just what a great program you guys put together. We all got to know each other. People all over the country, other dentists who I've read about or knew about, I finally got in touch with. It was such a great time. So thank you for having me back. So my name's Drew McDonald. I'm an orthodontist in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Really, I'm just the orthodontist down the street. I mean, you, for all the general dentists listening, I feel like, you know, I'm kind of the guy that you send your mutual patients to. We work together, and, you know, we really have the same goals for our patients. And as an orthodontist, I know today I'm going to talk a lot about my goals and where I see this profession is essentially going as part of a bigger team approach to dentistry. And for all the orthodontists listening, I mean, I feel like we're kind of the ones equipped to be able to do these things I'm going to talk about, because not only is our education in the foundation of what causes growth issues, jaw issues, all of that, but we also know how to fix them. We're structural people in terms of orthodontics. We definitely have the ability to change more than just the teeth part. And from my standpoint, you know, that's really who I am, and that's how I practice.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I'm so pumped to have you on. And, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm 51 now. So it gives you a little perspective where I'm at in dentistry. And this is probably the most exciting time I've ever seen in dentistry. And I've never heard the word airway so much. And Drew, you know, from your perspective, I mean, has there ever been a more exciting time to talk about this stuff? We're watching major teaching institutions change the way they look at dentistry. 35 mm-hmm. years of treatment planning has been turned on its head to include a word called airway. Can we talk about the why of this before we get into like the how? Why do you think it's so important?
Yeah, so I, you know, and this has kind of really changed my career, quite honestly. And I know I'm going to talk a lot about other things than just airway today, but, you know, the biggest thing I think that we're finding from especially the newer research that's happening in dentistry and honestly in the ENT world and the sleep world is that as dentists, we're kind of the front line with all this stuff. We're the people that see it every day in our chair in the form, especially as an orthodontist, we see patients with teeth that don't fit together, teeth that are crowded, whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, when we start peeling back the layers, we got to know where that came from. And what we're starting to understand, it seems like more and more every day, is that the airway side of things, the TMJ side of things, the, you know, kind of the growth and development, that those two factors especially really influence that create an orthodontic patient, somebody with a bad bite and bad teeth. You know, under the surface, there's an airway issue or a joint issue or both a lot of the times. And there's many other things that factor in too. So again, I think that the exciting thing is now we can see it. You know, whenever I start talking about what I mean by we can see it is that technology has changed so much. We're able to, with CBCT imaging, with MRI imaging that's readily available, we're able to see the issues for our patients and quite honestly show them. And I'll talk about this from my standpoint that, you know, whenever I do a workup for a patient, it is heavy in imaging. And the imaging side for me allows me to show the patient what their issues are. And then they start to own it. And then they start to say, what do we do about this? Because I don't want to have an airway issue the rest of my life. I don't want to have a TMJ issue that's going to progressively get worse unless we do something to address it. And so they end up starting to go for treatment plans that are kind of bigger and more involved than I ever imagined. And so I think the excitement here is that, one, we can be part of a bigger solution or bigger, you know, part of the patient's life than just the white things in their mouth here. And it also they can, you know, we can start to get people to buy into the treatment plans that we really ideally want to do for them, because we can really help them if we can do more. And if they see more, they want to do more. So that's what I see in my practice every day.
Yeah, that is so cool. And with all of this imaging and the CBCT, I mean, it's easy to get distracted with all these bright, shiny objects and all the, mm-hmm. you know, conversation that's going on. And you use the word, you know, foundational under the surface. So let's go there. From your perspective, share with us what that means to you when you talk about the foundation.
Yeah. So back to, you know, just patient walks in my office referred for, you know, crowding, or maybe they've got spacing, or maybe they've got, you know, again, a big overbite. As I start to analyze that patient, again, I'm talking to the patient about, hey, here's the things I'm seeing in your mouth. But here, as we go through your imaging, we can start to see the pictures that are leading us to, you know, or the things that are leading you to have this bite, the things that are causing you this crowding. And so the way that I go through things with patients and the way that honestly I see orthodontics going in the future is that it's going to be based off the under the surface things, because what we know and understand now is that a lot of the, you know, I'll use, for instance, you know, I'm going to step out of the airway conversation and into kind of my baby, which is the TMJ side of things. You know, whenever I see a patient with a class two bite or an asymmetry or an open bite, immediately in my head, I start to think, you know, there's probably a joint issue that has caused this. And so what I mean by that is that, you know, whenever what we know from research, and this isn't new research, this is goes back to the 90s, but patients that have displacement of the disc that's supposed to be in their TMJ protecting their condyle, and when they're young, it protects their condylar growth. If they have an injury to that joint from just falling off their bike, falling off a trampoline, whatever, you know, benign things that we think kids do, sometimes or a lot of times that can alter their growth. And so whenever I start looking and seeing the malocclusions of, like I said, class two open bite, mal or asymmetries, and then I take their CBCT and I say, hey, you're not growing well at these joints. You've got an asymmetry, you've got flattening and things that shouldn't be there. And then whenever I take an MRI of their joints and see that their disc is not in place, I can now know what got that patient into my chair. And then I know what best under the surface I have to take care of during that patient's treatment. For any orthodontists that are listening, the patient that you hate to see is the patient you've got wearing a bunch of rubber bands and other stuff that you think should work efficiently. And then you end up seeing them the next visit and they're not making progress with their bite. You see them the next visit, they're not really making progress. And you start scratching your head going, you know, what the hell's going on underneath the surface? Why isn't this working? You know, and then to that effect, basically what I say is, you know, we need to look at the joints. We need to look at the things under the surface that are fighting us. And so, you know, back to the joints, if somebody doesn't have a disc covering their growth site and we're trying to help that patient kind of have some growth expressed at their joints to correct a class two, but they don't have coverage of that growth site with the disc, then we can have them wear rubber bands all day long. You can put them in a Herbst all day long, but all we're going to do is fight an uphill battle to get them to actually grow. And also we might set that patient up for pain long-term. You know, if we're stressing a joint that can't handle that, then essentially we're kind of, you know, fighting a battle we don't know. So back to the premise of your question, sorry to go off on that little aside there, but back to your premise, yeah, is that if we understand the foundation of our patients from a joint standpoint, from an airway standpoint, from, you know, kind of a even cervical spine things and the bone around their teeth, then we know what's going to be successful and stable long-term, because we're addressing the under the surface things that got the patient into our chair. And again, the things that got them here are what's going to undo their results. I joke about this because I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, but I always really do come back to that, you know, what's dead will never die. If there's an issue before and we're trying to treat it and we don't take care of that issue as part of our orthodontic treatment, whether it's an airway issue or a joint issue, then that same damn thing is going to come back to bite us in the ass later. Sorry for my language. But it is. And again, that's the other nightmare of orthodontists is relapse. So if we can understand the foundation of our patients and what got them under the surface into our orthodontic chair, then we set ourselves up for better success, stability, and ultimately a happier patient.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about the orthodontists that are pretty young or a dental student listening to this. It's going to be, you didn't sign up bargain for all this when you were thinking about
not at all.
And, you know, speak to this too, Drew. Patients are going to be living longer. One in three babies is actually going to be living to be 100. So now the game has been extended and now we've got to be better at this. And then I don't even know the percentage in the past on orthodontics that have had to be redone. So rethinking how we get all of this right, that's a whole new game now. You know?
Oh, it is. No, and this is, I said this earlier, this has changed the way I do things. Whenever I quite honestly wanted to be an orthodontist, I wasn't thinking about jaw joints or airway stuff. And some of that wasn't really a big part of the, you know, the really what we were taught in school. And ultimately, I said this earlier, I've gotten to know a lot of very influential people in my life who have taught me so much about the foundational side of joints, of airway. You know, Dr. Mark Piper, he's a big role model of mine. Jim McKee, in terms of the joints, they're not orthodontists. Those dudes, they put something in my head that did not come from orthodontic residency. But I started seeing, or as I went back to patients after seeing them talk, I go, this is my everyday patient. All of these class two patients that all have clicks and pops, that's no coincidence. And right. Oh, by the way, when I take their MRI and I see they've got disc displacement, that's more than a coincidence. It's every class two and every open bite that I take imaging on, they've got problems. Yeah. And again, I can't say this enough. If we don't address those problems, we set ourselves up for relapse, pain, or worse for our patient. And ultimately it looks bad on us because did we do our job? I don't know. So yeah, again, looking at the foundation, I feel like should guide our decisions. On the airway side, you mentioned Becca Bacco and Jeff Rouse. I've gotten to know them very well lately, and they're huge influences on me too. And it's very nice to have the people building our profession from, like I said, the foundational side, not just the surface side of the teeth, that are really, like I said, driving decisions of how we do dentistry and driving our profession forward.
Yeah. And, you know, you've heard so many people say this, some of the greatest restorative minds in dentistry say this, you know, the orthodontists are going to lead the charge in this because you're not just changing smiles or facial structures. You're giving people better qualities of life overall. Mm-hmm. And with all that we know, and it is so darn cool. Here's one of my questions. I'm not an orthodontist, so I'm going to ask you this. So the foundation's critically important. How can it be easy to get, you know, to drift from the foundation? Like, let's say I'm an orthodontist, I've been in practice for 5 or 10 years, and I just kind of get away from these things. How can that happen, Drew?
Yeah, so this was the hardest thing for me is that my orthodontic practice, whenever I purchased it, was a traditional ortho practice. And, you know, the doctor who I purchased from, his name's Dr. John Cornally, amazing orthodontist. He was far ahead of the game for most people in terms of his looking at airway and joint side of things. I will say that I learned so much from him. But what I did also see in the orthodontic world is that a lot of it is geared towards, like I said, the smile side, the aesthetic side. There's, you know, straight teeth, happy life kind of things, and all these, you know, kind of the flashy side, I should say. And so I know that that's a big part of it. And what I always like to say, and I hate to say this, but that's the easy part. The straight teeth, I mean, you put brackets on teeth, you put Invisalign or whatever your tool is, they get straight pretty quickly, and that's okay. And then patients start to go, okay, how much longer we got and everything. And then you start talking about function and they maybe lose that in there. But really the things that can lead orthodontists astray is that we start thinking about the cosmetic side, the aesthetics, that's all the end game is for these patients. And then also there's bottom line things. You start thinking about how am I going to get more patients in the door. I've got to see more patients. Do I have time to diagnose at this level that's really going to help my patients, or do I need to dial it back and just focus on getting starts? I need to start a lot of patients to pay the bills. And, you know, my orthodontic practice has to be a high volume because that's what I see on Instagram from all these Instagram orthodontists and all this stuff. And so I think it's easy in ortho, sadly, at this point in the game, to get led astray. And I will say it's a frustration of mine to see, and I'm not saying anything negative of the people that you see all over certain social media stuff. I'm just saying we have a better story to tell. And I think that the story to tell is that we can do more than straight teeth. We are the people most equipped to do more than straight teeth and recognize it and help people structurally. So again, I'm not saying anything critical of fellow orthodontists. I just think we should all lead together forward in the way that we look at patients and tell them what we can really do for them. Because quite honestly, at this time or at this point in time, with the advent of AI and, you know, all this direct to consumer orthodontic companies and all these things that are out there that can do straight teeth, you know, and I hate to say this, but probably better than some people that are actually orthodontists. These computer algorithms can put teeth pretty straight. What is our story to tell? Why are we better than that as orthodontists? Right. And we have to start saying, we have to have a better answer. And really where it is, it's been under the surface the whole time. We look at joint issues, airway issues. bone alveolar bone issues all the time as orthodontists. But if you don't see it, you don't see it, and then you don't treat it, and then it becomes this whole quagmire of did we do our job? And then people start to devalue what we're doing. So if we're just straight teeth, then we're no better than smile. You know, certain direct to consumer clubs. I'll stop with the names.
Absolutely. Well, no. I love it. I love, you know, this is a free speech platform, and
yeah, I get animated. No worries.
You can say whatever you want here too. Now, and I know you're just scratching the surface when we talk about all the technical. We're talking about the technical, biologic, structural issues. But also, too, as being a relationship-based orthodontist, you're talking about psychosocial, you know, behavioral. Like, sometimes we're learning more than we want to know about people, and you see the indications in your practice. And that's where I think great orthodontists can separate themselves. It's not so much, here's what I can do technically, but we're going to learn about the person top to bottom. Yeah. It requires a whole new set of skills, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. No, understanding who's in your chair, not just what's in front of you from a black and white. I mean, that's part of the success totally. I mean, you have to, one, you can't just diagnose something and tell somebody they need to do something. You have to be able to motivate them. And ultimately, you have to know why that person's in the chair too. So from my standpoint, I don't know if my former baseball career, whatever that was, that ended in college, I think it set me up pretty well for ultimately coaching people. Like I feel like that's what I do most of the day as an orthodontist. Once a patient is in my chair and in treatment, it's motivating people and it's telling them why they need to do something and dialing it back from why. If they understand why this is all important before they start treatment, and if they've seen these things with their imaging and they understand that this isn't just about the straight teeth, then they buy in. And they do the things and they're like, yeah, I understand. Okay, we got it. Let's do, I need to do these things. And so, you know, from my standpoint at my office, I treat a lot of adults. I'd say about 60% of my office are adults. The other are mainly very young kids who I'm trying to intercept these issues as early as possible on. But in the either world, whenever I show either the patient who's an adult or the adult parent of the small child, what's going on underneath the surface, they start to really be motivated. And also as they go through treatment, and if I have referrals to see an ENT or a myofunctional therapist or, you know, other people as part of their team, they go do those things because again, they've seen it and they understand why.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
What's so fun about you is watching you stand up for something you believe and then all the success that comes with it. Not only, you know, you being a great educator in dentistry, but your practice. And speak to this. You know, you mentioned Jim McKee. I was interviewing Jim McKee a couple of weeks. I've known Jim for a long time. Like, Jim probably has the worst marketing of any. I mean, he's a dentist because you Google him, you can't find him. But he's busy than anything. And Jim, you know, I said, Jim, talk, because I get calls all the time. So if you're listening and you're a GP or an orthodontist, you're like, okay, I get it, but why? There are some unintended consequences. And I want you to speak to this. Like, once you start to stand up for something you know is right and you get good at something, people find you. Jim McKee's like, you know, I get all these cases that have been labeled crazy people, difficult. He goes, I am so busy putting the puzzles together for these people because I built a reputation on this. And Drew, I would imagine once an orthodontist stands up and starts believing something, you get busier and busier and busier and less PPO centric. And you're starting to do the cases you love that you're good at. That you're, is that true in your case?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I know I mentioned earlier that one of the biggest, what I've found, fallacies of orthodontics is that you have to be a high volume office. You have to do a lot of cases. You got to start everybody. My office is medium size for an ortho office. I see about 60 patients a day, which I know some places see 100 patients a day. And I'm not throwing stones at that. But at the end of the day, I didn't want to be that orthodontist. And so, you know, from my standpoint, I saw that interview with Jim and I go, yep, because I tried to look him up too. Whenever I was like, okay, I'm going to this Mark Piper, Jim McKee study club meeting. I got to figure out who these people are because I knew Mark Piper because I know the joint side, but I was trying to look up Jim. And no luck. There's nowhere to find him. But that just speaks to, for him, I mean, he's done and done things that people seek you out. And so in my world, and I learned this from Jim, it's and Mark and some others, that if you do something and you believe in it, like you said, and it's different and you can prove it and you do it over and over again, like you said, people find you. And whenever I first got to town here in Albuquerque, I thought, oh, I need to go hit the road and go meet all the dentist referrals. And I did that. And that was great. But it didn't amount to like people sending patients just because they'd met me. What ended up happening was, a year or two later, as people found out that I was really, treating patients for these airway issues and TMJ and not just the straight teeth part of things, that they started sending patients. And they weren't dentists who I'd really ever worked with before or hadn't sent to our office, but all of a sudden I was getting an influx from.
Right.
And so for me, I mean, the best practice builder for me was doing what I do best, communicating well to those dentists when I get a patient from them and then seeing it and going, wow, that was great. I've got all these other patients I'd like to send you that have these similar issues. And the coolest thing is that we all start learning together. I have a spear study club that I'm part of. And a lot of the people in my spear study club, we've kind of taken it from where we started and grown a lot together in a lot of new directions in regard to the airway, the joints, because again, we all see it together with our patients and we're getting better as dentists as a group. That's a cool thing. But back to it, I mean, from my standpoint, I've started seeing patients from all over the country. Honestly, patients will fly in and fly out because what we do with the joints, what I'm doing with the airway, with everything else at the same time for these patients and doing a total package type of ortho, that's making not just their teeth better, but their health better, their joints and all of these things. They don't get that anywhere else. And, right. I don't want to say anywhere else because there's other people that are extremely great practitioners, but they seek you out. And if you're doing the things that they want and they see it and they know about you and you're then do it. And if you're the doctor, if you want to differentiate yourself, I felt like this is the best thing because now, in my world, I'm sitting here going, I don't have to do the high volume because I'm already booked out 6 months. I'd rather dial it in and take care of the people that are here, and like I said, kind of have the practice work life balance that I wasn't able to have whenever I was thinking I needed to do the high volume practice. And that was the only way to operate. So kind of extremely specializing has helped me.
Yeah. Now take us on this journey because you're in Albuquerque. It's not a huge market. It's a great town. Let's say I'm a 32-year-old orthodontist and I'm listening to this podcast and I'm like, Drew, I'm totally picking up what you're putting down. I totally believe in it, but I don't have the referring network that you're talking about. Like I don't have the support network. What did you do once you started to move to town? Because would you agree? Not everyone's like, on this bus, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been hard work. I mean, from my standpoint, if back to what I'm diagnosing on patients, I'm looking under the surface at their CVCT. I see nasal airway issues. I see pharyngeal airway issues. I see joint issues. I see all of these, kind of things that are more than just these white things in their mouth. Again, I keep saying that, but the big thing is then you have to have some people on board with you that you can refer to and work with. I mean, there was a lot of work whenever I started kind of turning this corner to say, okay, who's my ENT? Who's my myofunctional therapy? And luckily I have an amazing myofunctional therapist in town who works with the Breathe Institute. Speaking of mentors, those guys have changed the way I look at a lot of things too, but Sandra Luz Gonzalez, who's myofunctional therapist who I primarily work with, she's phenomenal. We had to find each other. And because it's, whenever you go out there, you don't just say, hey, I'm going to refer you to just anyone. And so you have to do the work to go find these people, meet with them. I had several lunches with some, doctors that are sleep study specialists, allergists, people that you don't think of as a dentist as part of your network. But for me, whenever I kept seeing these under the surface issues for my patients, I had to have answers and I had to have somebody I could send them to. And so there's a lot of groundwork that I did, but those people are there. And I think one of the cool things, honestly, is that, with social networking things, you'll find that those people are closer than you thought they were. I mean, I've found some people that are, you know, 45 minutes to an hour away from me in up in Santa Fe that I work with for certain things, because they're the people who do the things I need them to do. Right. And they take care of my patients the way I want to. So I guess whenever I'm talking about kind of the world getting, you know, how, whenever you look underneath the surface, patients are willing to travel, and it can be from your office as the dentist. It can be, you know, basically to the specialist you're sending them to. But if they know the reason why they need to go to that person, then they'll go. And what's been absolutely interesting for me is that, back to the joints world, you know, I have a lot of patients that have severe joint issues. And I never, if you would have had this interview with me 4 years ago, I would have never dreamed I'd have patients travel to St. Petersburg, Florida, to see Mark Piper or Brian Shaw. But they do it, and they do it all the time. I had two patients in my office today. I'm seeing patients today who had been to Mark Piper and Brian Shaw for surgery because they had severe, severe joint issues that obviously came into my office as a malocclusion. But unpeeling the layers, I knew I'm going to fight a losing battle if I try and do this with just orthodontics. I need some help. And by showing those patients that they had those issues with CBCT and MRI, then they go, how do I fix this? And who do I go see? And I'll go, yeah, absolutely, I'll go. I've had 11-year-old kids go for surgery in these cases because they've seen the truth, and you can't unsee the problems that you have. And then you go, how do I fix it? And like I said, it, then travel becomes a non-issue for patients, and they buy in because they want the best treatment. So it's, you know, that has absolutely changed my world, is, you know, that understanding that the best treatment is really what patients want. They don't really want the cheap, easy stuff. They don't want, you know, at the end of the day, I should say, you know, obviously initially they're like, oh, how much is it going to cost? But they also want their investment to be worth it. So that was a different tangent there.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I have like 10 more questions, and I know I don't get you all day, but you know, as far as other things that are under the surface, when we look at the foundational piece, anything else that speaks to your heart on the longevity? And I'll couple that with another question. Let's say, again, I'm a young orthodontist. Drew, what's it look like as far as the future of orthodontics? It's anyone's guess, but what, I mean, if I got 3 decades of dentistry in front of me, what's it look like?
Yeah. So I really do think that our place in the world as orthodontists is going to be involved in multidisciplinary health related things. And again, I know that the flash is there right now of, you know, the smiles and all that. And yes, we do that, and we're the best at it because we know how to move teeth. We know how to, we understand how to put teeth together. But wouldn't it be a good idea to put them together in the right spot with the right airway, with the right joints, with everything else? And so I say this, you know, again, and this is kind of back to the theme of today, that I think the future of orthodontics is foundational. And that we can help with foundational issues too. We can help by expansion, helping a patient have a better nasal air volume. We can help with myofunctional therapy and other things that we can do in our office too, to have a patient have the right tongue position to support our orthodontics and keep it stable long term. And we can also help our patients in terms of identifying joint issues and designing treatment to work either around them, with them, or, you know, solve those issues with other people's help. And again, I think that in the orthodontist world, if we know and understand the enemies under the surface before we get started, then we have a way better chance of success. And so back to the future of orthodontics, I really do feel like our role is going to be much more involved in, you know, kind of a complex interdisciplinary system of dentistry. And honestly, I think that opens so many doors for new ways to bring treatment or patients into our office. Again, I never dreamed that I would be getting referred patients from a sleep physician. I've had, you know, a sleep physician started referring me patients about a year ago. I see so many patients. I didn't recruit that. They knew I treat these patients and I do certain things that they needed. And I do expansion on adults. I do MSC things like Becca Bacow talks about. But again, the only reason I know that I need to do those types of treatment is I've looked under the surface and I saw that they had a narrow airway at their nasal passages. They had all these things that I can help with as an orthodontist with my tool set. And again, like I said, I feel like the foundational issues, if we know and embrace them as orthodontists and become specialists in the things that are really under the surface, then we open up so many new avenues to take care of patients. And again, I say this so much that we are equipped for this. We know how to move teeth. We know how to set up orthognathic surgery cases. We know how to get bites where they should be. And we essentially do a full mouth rehabilitation on patients with natural teeth every day as an orthodontist. That's exactly what an ortho patient is. And if we set them up for success for what we do at them for them at 12, 13, 14, or even younger when we're intercepting these things, we've done a way better service for our patients than just straight teeth. And so, again, I feel like the foundational issues of a patient really should drive our decision making from here on in terms of orthodontics. And then we can do so much more for patients, and they know it and they embrace it and they get more patients because of it. It's a huge new, I think it's the revolution. It's the wave right now in ortho, and we should be driving it. We're definitely the people to execute it for sure.
For sure. I would agree with Otten and Robbins. The force is strong with you. Like, I don't think you're going to change a lot of lives. I know you're going to change a lot of lives. And in the process, I know you're going to influence a lot of people in dentistry just to have a more fulfilling, if anything, a lot more fulfilling, because there's a difference between fixing teeth and changing lives. And that's truly what you're doing. So, buddy, I'm so glad to have you on here. I know you're going to come back for masterclass, and I know I only get you a little sliver of time today, but I want people, now I'm just going to say this. If you have a study club and you haven't had Drew speak, you are missing out. He is truly one of the most talented people in dentistry. You got to have him speak. So Drew, if I didn't know who you were before this, we're going to put in the show notes. You guys can just flip up the show notes. But if I'm listening on Spotify or Stitcher, how do I find you? How do I reach out to you? Where do I find out more about what you do?
Yeah. So the best, kind of the easiest way I'd say is, just hit me on Instagram. I am on Instagram, but it's Dr. Drew McDonald. The other would be email, which I think will be at the bottom, but regardless, either of those two, I do quite a bit. I've got a pretty, busy lecture schedule ahead. Back to Robbins and Otten, I get to do a 3-part series in July. They gave me 3 nights. So it's like McDonald month. I'm actually doing it kind of a GOT themed, kind of orthodontic presentation, I should say, of several different areas that are important. Like I said, these foundational issues, I'm going to go through them very in depth in those 3 lectures. So I'm doing lectures with them. I've got a joint lecture with Dr. Jeff Rouse, a couple of them coming up later this fall. And then, of course, some other projects. And, the other big thing that I'm affiliated with is Seattle Study Club. I do kind of their complete program. So if you're affiliated with Seattle Study Club, you can look me up through there too. And then there are lots of new exciting things on the horizon with some other doctors. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And quite honestly, like I said, I just want to say thank you, Kurt, because you've really introduced me to some of these people, and I've gotten to listen to them through all of the ACT kind of things we did last year together during the COVID times. And I sought these people out afterwards, and we got to know each other. And it's just fun to bounce ideas off people that you know and respect. It's awesome. Hey, so thank you for opening that avenue.
It's my pleasure, but I did the same. So how old are you at the time of this?
I will be 35 next week. So okay.
Happy birthday, brother.
Hey, thank you.
You're a way much better looking version of than any of us. But, I just did what you did. I just started hanging out at some of these meetings and walking up to great clinicians going, we're going to be friends. And they would all say, I'll be the judge of that. And then you just keep showing up and you find out they're great people, like a Robbins, like an Otten, like a Rouse. And you just enjoy them. Actually, Jeff Rouse just sent me a bunch of pictures. Like, he has these little parties at his house and it's so cool. And so if you're a young dentist, my message to you is this: just start hanging around with people that you like and respect, and they introduce you to others. Like, I've told this story before, but Rouse goes, hey, come over to my house. I was speaking at the Texas Dental Association. You should do this. If you say, I'm coming over. He goes, yeah, I'll have a car pick you up. Another guy's going to be in the car. His name's Bob. Look for him. So I get in the car and I'm like, oh, this isn't Bob. This is Bob Winter. So like, dude, I had him in a headlock by the end of the night drinking tequila. It was really fun, but like,
those are good memories. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the point is this, the journey in dentistry is really cool when you just get to know some of the people behind the heart of the educational machine. They're great people. It excites you when you go back, yeah, and look at your office, and it takes dentistry from being a job to an incredible profession and influence in the world. And Drew, you are a living example of this. And buddy, I'm so excited for you, man. I'm going to have you back again and again and again. talk about whatever you want to talk about in future episodes. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm here for it. Thank you, Kirk. I'm so excited, and this is a great program. And like I said, whatever you need, you got me. I'm excited.
That's called voluntolding. I just told you.
Yeah, you told me to come back. I'm now booked for 4 dates, and
No. Dude, you're the best. Awesome, brother.
One note really quickly on that is if Jim McKee and Bill Robbins come out at ARD and tell you to keep drinking with them till 3 a.m., do it. even if your 6 a.m. flight the next day is going to be the worst thing ever. So anyway.
Do it. Just do it. And so I would agree with you because you'll laugh so hard and it'll hurt tomorrow, but you'll have fun doing it.
Yeah, worth it. Necessary pain. We're good.
You know, friends for life. But buddy, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor. Hit the share button. Share with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for the things you want to see. I get them all the time, and I love it. Things that you want to hear from Drew or the other guests that we have. I'll line them up because I love doing this, and you'll see them all in future episodes. But until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.